Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for continuing, Lord God, to minister to us in a very simple yet profound way. There are things you're bringing to our understanding, things you're wanting us to grasp, things that we'll have to continue to grasp. This is not something, Lord God, that we just get and stop. No, we keep on getting. We keep on growing. We keep on maturing. We keep on developing spiritually, Lord God. And so we thank you, Lord, that you're helping us in this journey. You're helping us, Lord God, with our faith and trust and reliance and dependence upon you, that we're ever increasing in our faith in you, Lord God. So help us today to get a little bit of an understanding, more of an understanding of what this means, even how it looks, Lord God, with some pictures that I'll be showing, how certain thoughts look, Lord God, formed within our thinking, and how we can have the right ones and continue to form a network of life with our life, in our life, and through our lives to others. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's wonderful passages in God's Word, and I'm going to start with one today about in what Peter said. As you know, Peter was one of the original disciples of Jesus, and he wrote a couple little letters, and we're going to go to 1 Peter. That means there's two of them, so we're going to go to the first one. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read 13, 14, 15, and 16. And it's a pretty, I don't know. You know, when I first read this years ago and I read what it said here, it was like, is it really possible? Is this really possible? In verse 13, it says, "Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ," indicating that our full salvation was secured through Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen? So we're to rest in that. It's nothing by your own efforts. You did not work or achieve anything to get saved. It was all done by Him. Now, we've been looking at the subject of faith. We've been looking at the subject of how faith comes, how faith can get developed. And we found out from Romans 10:17, passage that we all know, that faith comes by hearing. And it's just not hearing, it's what we hear. And it says hearing by the Word of God. There's a lot of hearing that we have, and not all of it's the Word of God. How many of you know that you can have certain thoughts with inside your head, certain ways that you think that could even be greater or speak to you louder than what God's Word says? So then how do we get rid of some of the wrong faith or unbelief toward God and develop the right faith in God? We have to continue in the Word of God, okay? Something wonderful, spiritual begins to happen. As I challenged the Thursday class, I asked a question. How many times, even last Sunday, how many times did you hear the gospel of your salvation till it clicked, till it became real to you, till it spoke to you? When you first heard the gospel, did you kind of like laugh at a person? Like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, God loves me. Yeah, 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 yay. You know, there was something that occurred within your life where just the hearing of those words became a belief with inside your heart, and God gave you that ability to believe. It says the Holy Spirit convicts us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Something clicked with inside you that belief transpired and took place, and you confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's something that continues to happen within our life as we continue on in the Word of God. So you have to grab, at times, you have to gird up the loins of your mind or get a hold of it. You got to get a grip on your thinking. You just can't just let it just, you know, just hang out there. And, you know, when you look up this gird up the loins of your mind, you know, back then, I don't know if you ever seen how some of the Jewish men dressed at that time, or even the women, they had like a long garb. You know, it was like a one-piece cloth where you put one arm in here and it came back around and you put the other arm in and it just kind of clothed you. But the bottom part would flap. And you could, women, how many of you, when you wear a long skirt or dress, tell me how easy it is to run? Right? You got to hike it up. Right? And you got to pull it up a little bit. And this is what he's saying. Don't just let your mind flap around and just let it go wherever it wants to go. Gird it up. Grab hold of it. Then move forward. Then go on. Right? And so he's trying to get, you know, get them with the apparel of the day to realize something that he's trying to tell them spiritually. It's what Jesus Christ has done and what continues to be revealed to you through Scripture, what he's done on your behalf, that you're able to take that word as your thoughts and as your life and run with it. Amen? But if you don't have those words, if you don't have that teaching within you, how can you run with it? How can you move on in the things that God has for your life? But let's read further what he has to say here. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, indicating a former way of life and a new way of life. How much of the former things do you allow to control your thinking versus the life that God has for you? Okay? Verse 15. But as he, speaking of God, as he who called you is what? Holy. Now, does anybody have a problem here today that God's holy? That God is pure? That there's no sin in him? There's no wrong? There's no error? He does no wrong. He can do no wrong. He's pure. He's blameless. He's beautiful. He's wonderful. Oh, look at the next part here. You also be holy. Oh, pure. Blameless, beautiful, undefiled. Ooh, that might be a little bit. Hey, guys, listen. It's quiet in here. It's quiet. Because we have no problem acknowledging God that way, but for us to be like that, it kind of hits, doesn't it? In what? It says, in all manner of conversation. When you look it up in a direct translation, it talks about in all your conduct. Every way that you deport and live your life to live holy. And so I know some people here and some people that you know and some people that you come across. It's impossible, Pastor. Nope. It's not. We all have choices. But the more that we familiarize ourselves with God's word and with God himself, the more that you will side with that truth and become what that truth says. Hear, receive, believe, grow in it, become. It's a process, but it has been secured for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Any of you make some choices this week that have not been holy? Yeah. Hey, huh? Very good. Very nice. Nice. Got an honest person here. I'm sure all the rest of us could say yes, but we don't want to. He goes and quotes from Leviticus in verse 16, because it is written. Take an Old Testament passage, bring it into the New Testament, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Is it possible to pursue holiness? Is it possible for us? Now, look at the word holiness, and then think of the word also godliness or godlikeness, becoming more like God. As a believer in Jesus Christ today, looking past where you first came to know Jesus and the journey to where you are today, are you more like God than you were at the beginning part of your journey? Are you changing? Are you transforming? Do you find yourself having more God thoughts than old thoughts? Are your choices more like him or more like you were? See, the one word or one definition of the word holy is what? Anybody, help me out with some definitions here, some of you scholars. Godly? What's like a direct translation of the word holy? Set apart. Set apart. To be whole. Yeah, it means to be set apart unto. Okay, so wait a second. Set apart unto what? Who's the example here? God. God's the example. To be set apart unto God. Well, in order to be set apart unto, you have to be set apart from. Okay, so there's something going on in your life that is not of God. The Word of God even says, it didn't say you were once in darkness, it says you were once darkness. I mean, it says you were darkness. Before you came to know Jesus Christ, you were totally godless. Without God, without hope, without a covenant. I mean, Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 2 and really lets these Gentile believers know what they were before. Without hope. He goes on and says, all these things that we were, see, we were that. And that's why you have to really get the understanding that when you come to know Jesus Christ, that the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you become what? A new creature or a new creation. It says you are now light in the Lord. You were once darkness, you are now light in the Lord. Well, wait a second. Well, if that's true, then why do I still have a problem with my thinking? Your spirit saved, your mind has to be renewed and transformed. Okay? There's a renewing of the mind that has to take place. So is this possible that Peter is speaking here? It's all possible, it's all livable, it's all achievable, or it's a lie. And for him to say that, faith in God will rise to the occasion and says, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you said I'm able to be separated from everything that is not of you and to become completely separated unto you in all the affairs of my life, beginning with my thinking. See, that's what faith should be saying inside of you. For you to embrace these words instead of saying, fat chance. I don't see how he's going to do that. Now, you may start out that way because you don't have a very good view of yourself in light of the truth. In light of the truth. And as you find out what Jesus Christ has done for you and what he has done in you, you begin changing the view of how you see yourself in light of the truth revealed in God's word. So it doesn't come something so fantastic or so far out, you're able to begin to look at this and say, yes. Yes, this is the work of God within me. This is what he's doing in me. Why do you think it's very important after salvation that we receive the Holy Spirit? The very first part of that word, holy. I need the Holy Spirit to help me be holy. How about you? Absolutely. I need his influence. I need him speaking to me. I need him bringing the truth to my remembrance. No, Mark, no, no. What? No? Okay. And then he shows me what unto. Are you becoming more sensitive to the Lord? Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I think the women of God were in this last Thursday. But I want to read to you a pursue. Hebrews 12, there's a pursue here that it says we need. I'd love to, you know, I told Christine, Christine's my wife, that I'd really like to teach the whole book of Hebrews. I mean, it's just so powerful on this subject of separating ourselves completely unto the Lord and living a faith-filled lifestyle. And the dangers that try to come in there, there's five different warnings in the book of Hebrews that warn us from departing from the faith and how to keep ourselves built up in who Jesus is. Okay, I'm going to begin here with Hebrews 12. I think Wednesday and last Sunday, we looked a little bit at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let's just drop down here. As you know, there's this portion here in verses 5 to 11. It talks about the chastening of the Lord. How many of you know that those of you that have had children, if they get off track or go astray, you chasten them or you correct them? Okay? Well, it says if you as earthly parents know how to do this to your children, it says that the Heavenly Father is also going to chasten you. So we have to realize that when we get off track, God has a way of getting our attention. Usually, hopefully, that we listen to him, and it's through the Word of God. Because when it says, train up a child in the way he's to go, the very first definition that you come up to where that word occurs in Proverbs, it speaks about speaking from the mouth the correction or the direction one is supposed to go. Okay, to stimulate their palate, to show them this is where you erred and this is where you need to be. Okay, the very last part of it is it talks about a rod of correction or actual physical discipline that comes in when they refuse to listen. The Word of God tells us what's going to happen in the world in which we live. In Matthew chapter 24, it says lawlessness will abound. In other words, forget it. I don't care what government says. I don't care what my job says. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do what I want when I want to do it. Okay, lawlessness or being without law or being without guidance, being without leadership, I don't want that, right? We're living more and more in a world like this, folks. But God so loves us that when we go astray, he's going to correct us to bring us back on the path that we need to be. Amen? And he loves us and he wants to bring us back. And so he says in verse 12, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. So he's talking about a person that is going through this time of correction, that you're going to go through this time of correction, but there's going to be a time where God corrects us. We don't have to stay in that condition. How many of you know the verse right above where I just started reading? It says that when God's correction comes, it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness within a person's life. How many of you have been convicted about something and you've confessed it before the Lord? But yet at times, you haven't received your forgiveness and you're still in the dumps about it. For some of us, it's very difficult for us to receive our forgiveness when we've asked God to forgive us. It's very difficult to move on. Sometimes we feel we need to feel remorse, or something's got to happen to me because I did this. It's just too easy for me just to ask God to forgive me. If the Holy Spirit's convicted you and you repent truly, in other words, you see what it is, Lord God, that was really stupid of me. I just ask that you forgive me. What would be something you said to somebody, something you did, a wrong choice that you made? It says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's done, folks. You have to let it go and leave it at the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ has already secured your release. You don't have to go around feeling all hands. I mean, some of you, well, Pastor really blew it this week. Did you deal with it? Yeah. Really? Yeah. I said, are you forgiven? Well, the word says I am. I don't feel like it. I said, your feelings will catch up. You have to know what the Word of God has to say. And so it talks about, it says, strengthen the hands which hang down. How do you strengthen the hands? How do you strengthen yourself? If you're dislocated, how is it you're healed? Because you find out what God's Word has to say and the place and position you find yourself in after repentance. You know, at times after repentance, there's such a merciful presence of God that even after repenting, I find myself tears coming down my face and just saying, you are so wonderful. You're so beautiful. You are so great, Lord God. I thank you that I was sensitive to you, that I was able to hear from you. How many of you know that we're always not that sensitive? Okay? Yesterday, for me particularly, was a very difficult day. And it wasn't until I went to bed that I dealt with some stuff. How many of you know that's what we need to do? Okay? But it got dealt with. Okay? And we need to catch ourselves a whole lot faster. It was just a 1 hour, 2 hour project turned into 8 to 10 hours, and my flesh was flashing. Any of you ever have flashing flesh? Okay. But look what it says that we're supposed to do here. Pursue what? Peace. Well, so what's the very first thing that... follow. It says follow, pursue. The word here is follow. The word is pursue is to go after in such a way that you obtain and keep. To go after, to follow, to pursue in such a way that you obtain and keep. Find out, you can always tell when something's going not the way it's supposed to when you lose your peace. I'm talking about your peace with God. All of a sudden the fellowship isn't there. How many of you know, husbands and wives, when it's not right between you? You're not talking the same. You're kind of like, hey, hi. You know, it's just like it's all surface. But when you're at peace, and one of the definitions of peace is to be at one with. In other words, we know when we're right with God, when we're one with God. We know when we're right with one another. Husbands and wives know when they're right with each other. There's just a free-flowing communication. There's nothing in the way. There's no niceties that we're, you know, just trying to smooth something over, just trying to take some peanut butter and smooth it over. You know, you know when it's right. You know when you're right with God. You know when you're right with each other. It says that's what we're supposed to pursue. And if that gets broken, if your peace with God gets broken, then you have to stop. Well, why is my peace gone here right now? Why am I agitated? Why am I upset? Why am I reacting the way that I'm reacting? What's going on within my life? What has just happened for me to get like this? Ask yourself questions. I guarantee you, Holy Spirit will start giving you answers. Amen? But it says here, it says, pursue peace with all people. Okay? You know, the word men, you see it's got little brackets around it? With all. Okay? I don't just think means men. I also mean God also. We're to pursue peace with all. Am I at peace with God right now? Am I at peace with you right now? Am I at peace with my wife right now? Am I one with God and am I one with you? Is there any friction between any of us? And Lord God, if there is, how can we get it straightened out? And what? So it says we're to pursue peace and we're to pursue what? Holiness. See, it's a pursuit of our life to be separated from everything that is not of God in our lives and to be united with everything that is of God He has for our lives. Very easy. It's not that difficult. Without which, wow, that's a pretty heavy statement there. Without which no one will see God. If that's not a pursuing aspect of our life, if this isn't something where this is God's will, right here, read that. That is God's will for all of our lives. That is God's will for your life. The writer is writing here because a group of people have gone back. A group of people, Messianic Jewish people, when I say Messianic Jews, Jewish people who came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, have now departed from Jesus Christ and went back to animal sacrifices. Okay? They went back into the law. They went back into Judaism. They went back to, like, you know, we don't see what you guys said was going to happen. The temple is still here. Animals are still being sacrificed. Yeah, we heard that you said that Jesus said one day that temple is going to be destroyed and there's not going to be one stone left on top of another. This was written prior to AD 70. Prior to AD 70. The temple is still standing. Sacrifices are still being offered. And all of a sudden they're like, wow, maybe that Jesus really isn't who he said he was. You know, this. I mean, they're still offering sacrifices. Their pursuit stopped, and they gave heed to something else. I guarantee you, if you're not pursuing the things of the Lord, something will be pursuing your thoughts, your mind, trying to get a place with inside your thinking. The enemy is relentless in his pursuit after you, and if you aren't purpose in your pursuit after God, you're going to stop your pursuit after God, and whatever's going to pursue you, you'll start giving place to. So this tells us to make sure we have a pursuit, an onward understanding. I'm at peace with God now, and when that peace is being messed up within my life, I'm going to find out why it's messed up, because I want that door closed. How about you? Amen? And if the Word of God says that I can become more and more like Jesus every day of my life, then I'm becoming more like Jesus every day of my life. Holiness. Becoming like Jesus. Christ-likeness is the term that used to be stated. You might say, well, what is it why are you going this way today? We've been looking at the subject of faith. We've been looking at the subject of renewing our mind. And how many of you know that we need to be purposeful in this? Purposeful. If you don't control your thoughts will control you. If you don't take charge of your thinking, I guarantee you, wherever that thought's going, it will bring you down a path. You say, how did I end up here? If we're all honest with ourselves, this past week, we've taken some rabbit trails, maybe express highways, and gone way down a road we shouldn't have gone down until we finally got hold of it and said, whoa, what am I doing here? What am I doing with this thought and taking it? Oh my gosh, if anybody knew that I thought these kind of thoughts, they'd probably need to say, I need to repent. Well, we probably all need to repent. But you're going to find yourself, when you're hungering more for the things of the Lord, you're going to cut it off a whole lot sooner. You're going to cut it off a whole lot faster. You're going to be making that spiritual U-turn quick. Amen? Don't get condemned if you've gone directions this week in your natural life, in your natural thinking, where you should not have gone. Simply, Lord God, that was really dumb. That was really some wrong choices. Help me, Lord God. Help me that the next time a thinking pattern comes up in my life that is not of you, I'm asking that you quicken me by the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you pray that. The moment you start, there's a quickening of the Holy Spirit that comes immediately. I tell you, it's fast and it's quick, but you have the choice to say yes to the Lord or, well, and go on with that thought. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted or tried or proven beyond what you're able to bear, indicating to us that you don't have to go down that path if you don't want to go down that path. Amen? So you grab hold of it. It's just, sometimes they used to call it like a check in the spirit. There's just something. You've heard me say this before. It's almost like the Lord, it's like I hear what's inside me. Just real quick. It's just real gentle, it's real subtle, or it's just a knowing. The thought goes down somewhere that it begins, it shouldn't go down, and all of a sudden, you know, I shouldn't be thinking like this. You just have the understanding. That's the time where you have to make the choice and stop. You have to apply your will to follow, to keep your peace with God and stay separated on God's side. Amen? It's a pursuit, so it's a choice. Amen? Okay. Okay, let's go to this one. Let's go to James. Since we're Hebrews, just make a right. Next book, James chapter 1. Oh, let me go. Let me just start here with verse 19, just so you can hear these verses. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man or let every person be what? Swift to hear. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath or to get angry. Any of you here like to justify yourselves before you hear the whole story? Swift to hear. One person said, God gave us 2 ears and one mouth. We should listen to twice as much and speak half as much. And we'll be what? Slow to wrath or slow to anger? How many of you, something happens and you just can't seem to hold it in. You just let it fly. Well, God says you don't have to let it fly. For the wrath of man or the anger of man or the anger of a person does not work the righteousness of God. So when you find yourself getting totally provoked, one of the definitions here of the word wrath, outbursts of anger. Anybody have outbursts of anger? How many of you at times feel that you want to justify yourself? You don't have any right to speak to me like that. And definitely, it's not the Spirit of God. Okay? It says you have the ability to control that. When it says be swift to hear, not just what the other person has to say, God's trying to get your ear. God's trying to get your ear. There's something coming up right now. It's almost like this conversation is getting ready to happen or whatever the circumstance may be. In the time that you want to react in the flesh, there's another voice that's speaking. It's usually Holy Spirit that's speaking. It's usually a word of God that you heard. It's coming to your remembrance. Why don't you just trust Him and say, you know, Lord God, this is, I'm really starting to get upset here. Start listening. Pursue peace. Keep your peace. Keep your joy. Keep yourself in the love of God. Be patient. Be kind. Be long-suffering. It is who you are in Jesus Christ. All those qualities dwell within you. All the characteristics and qualities of God now dwell in you because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That is who you are. You'd never have to allow an outburst of anger if you don't want to. You've heard me say this before. How many of you? Bill, what nationality are you? English and German. What kind of tempers do they have? I know. Yeah, okay, he knows, okay. Anybody here Italian?
Irish and English.
Irish and English. Oh, great company. You know, it always seems that we like to talk about our heritage, why we're angry. Well, you know, Polish people, well, you know. It seems like every people group has an anger problem. Yes, outside of Jesus, every people group does. And so what we do, we try to put blame on something I was born with that I don't have any control over because I'm German. Right? It's the blame game. We always want to defer it over to, I'm this way because. Well, there may be some things in your life that you may be the way you are because of certain things, but now as a new creation in Jesus Christ, you don't have to go there or live there anymore. You've been translated, as it says in Colossians, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's where you live. So you have the ability to pursue peace or to remain at peace and sided with God. See, I'm trying to bring the word holiness into a place where you can live. You don't have to step out being connected with God if you don't want to. Okay? Now, James, let's go on here. Verse 21. Therefore, lay aside. Who has the ability? The Word of God wouldn't tell you to do something if you did not have the spiritual capacity to do it. So if the Word of God tells you you can lay aside something, you can lay it aside. Lay aside all filthiness, and that is referring to any type of moral dirt, wrong type of thinking, that gutter thinking, and overflow of wickedness, evil, badness, and trouble. Any of you here troublemakers? Okay. Lay it aside, sister. You acknowledge it, telling you what the Word says to do. But it just doesn't say to lay it aside. It tells you what to do in its place. Receive with meekness, with humility, because at the time that we're feeling these type of things, we're definitely not meek or humble. It says receive, accept, acknowledge, and receive with meekness the in what? Implanted? I think this word says here engrafted, doesn't it? Engrafted word, which is able what? To save your souls. What are we talking about here a little bit today? The renewing of the mind. Okay, so it says here that God wants to give you a word that's going to bring His salvation into your very soul. The way that you process information, the way that you think about things. He's wanting to bring something to you. What did He use the word here? Implanted or engrafted? To become part of you. To become very, just, I used to be in horticulture, we used to graft in things into plants. In other words, I don't know if you've ever seen it, I think it's really cool. At Home Depot, they sell one. They sell a citrus tree that you can get a lemon off of it, you can get a tangerine off it, you can get an orange off it. The rootstock are Valencia oranges, real sweet. So the lemon's going to have a little bit of a sweetness to it. Whatever the rootstock is will come out in that. And because it's a citrus, lemon, lime, tangerine, grapefruit, you can graft it in to that stock and you will have those things come out of it. It's actually really cool when you see them grow out. We did this in high school. You can actually see that fruit come out, but it will always have the flavor of the root. We can be all these different individual people. We're grafted in Jesus Christ. We have our unique personalities. Lemon, lime, tangerine, orange, grapefruit, right? Kumquat. As long as it's part of the citrus family. But we'll always have the sweetness of Jesus. Now, you can take that word of God and graft it into your life and begin manifesting the fruit of that. And He said He just doesn't want you to hear it. He wants it to become attached to your life, sewn into your life, actually spliced into your life, that it becomes one with you, and you develop the fruit of that in that area. So you're to find what the Word of God has to say instead of the things that it was referring to there. And then the next verse here is, most people know, it says, be doers of the Word. Well, you can't be a doer of the Word unless the Word's been grafted in you. Yeah. Unless it's had impact on your thinking. The only way you're going to see, or else we're just going to become, we're going to try to do it according to the law. Well, the Word of God says I need to do this, and I'm going to go ahead and do it. Well, there have been some things like that I just went ahead and did until I finally got it. But the verse before it says, receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word which is able to save your souls. And that's the renewing of the mind process. That's taking the word of God and listening to it and praying it, going it over, finding out what all the different scriptures have to say about it, how it relates to you and your walk with God, until all of a sudden it becomes part of you, then you find yourself applying it in your life. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. So when it's talking about being a doer of the word, not a hearer only, you're allowing the word of God to become part of who you are. Amen? Because it goes on here in verse 23, it says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, doesn't allow it to become engrafted in their life, he is like a man observing his face in a mirror. And how many mirror Christians are there? You know how many mirror Christians that there are? Where we can go in the word of God and we can know where a passage is, or we can repeat a passage. But after we go away from it, we're still the same person. In other words, do you stay with it long enough till these written words become living words and become engrafted in your life so that when this is closed, you're the living word? You live what it says. Your life, behavior, your thinking, everything about you starts lining up with it. It's called the perfect law of liberty. It's a spiritual law for us. And if we'll do what just this little passage right here says, we'll see a whole lot more transformation within our lives. For he who observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what manner, what kind of person he was. But he who looks into, well, you have to go back. What does it mean by looking into? Receive with meekness. You always have to, when you're reading the scripture, if there's something that was said before, you got to go to the context of the scripture of what he is saying that we're supposed to be doing with the word of God. And it says we're to be receiving with meekness the engrafted word or the implanted word, which is able to save our souls or renew our mind, transform our thinking, where it affects every aspect of our life. Okay? So you go back up to what was said to understand what he's saying now. But he who looks into, stays with the word of God, with a humble heart, knowing that God has the answer for your life, and he's got a word that he's wanting to minister to you, for you to take into your life, that is going to completely change the way you view and think of certain aspects of life, when that truth comes to you. And it's called what? But he who looks into the perfect law of what? Liberty, freedom. And when you, once again, this is a wonderful Greek word, with the word liberty is also, you may have heard the word freeman. A person who was once bound by something, has those ties have been severed, and now he's a free person, or a person at liberty from that which used to bind him. So when it's talking about the perfect law of liberty, once again, it's going back to the word holiness. It's God's word is teaching and imparting you something that you no longer have to give into, because this is who you are. And you're like, wow, I don't have to give into that anymore. That's not who I am in Jesus. Because the word of God says this. When the click is made, the separation has occurred. You just, wow, I was that. You just find yourself, you know, I don't do that anymore. Wow. When did that happen? These are neat revelations that happen to us. It's just like you just find yourself living agreeable or in agreement with God. Like, you know, I don't fly off the handle like I used to. You know? Hey, that's pretty cool. Thank you, Jesus. See, that it's the way that we should be living, everyone. That's the perfect law of liberty. So when you look at the word liberty, something bound you, something had you tied up, something kept you away from what God has for you. And as you stayed with the word of God, and it's the washing of the water of the word is changing the very construct of your thinking to have a godly influence, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to want to be one with God. All of a sudden, there's a spiritual disconnect that is made. The umbilical cord is cut. There's no more life giving to that. And now you're experiencing the life that God has for you, and you're free. You see, this is what he has for us. This is the picture. Hopefully, I'm going to show you some pictures before we end here today. I was talking to a sister last week or a week ago, and most of you know that I like to listen to Carolyn Leaf. She has a TV program, which I don't get TBN, so you go to her website and you can watch her broadcasts on there. And she was a spirit, born-again, spirit-filled girl that grew up in the church. And so when she went into neurology, the study of the brain and the mind, she went into it that she knew that the Word of God was going to prove the science and that the science would not disprove the Word of God. She had a place in her life that when she went into that field, and she said 30 years ago when she first went into that field, they thought what she said was wrong concerning the Word of God. And after 30 years, some of these people have come back to her and says, you know what you said 30 years ago is proving itself out right today about the truth of God's word positively impacting a person's life for the good. Isn't that amazing? Neuroscience is now exonerating, proving that what this word says is true. For example, one example, what's it, Proverbs 23, first part of it, verse 7? As a man or as a person thinks, so is he. So it's saying that your thoughts, the continuation of those thoughts, the feeding of those thoughts, so you become. Now we grab what we're talking about here. You can go either way. You can go toward God or not toward God, but they have pictures. Now, I wasn't able to get the ones I wanted, but they actually have pictures of healthy neuron transmission and unhealthy neuron transmission. It's kind of scary to see what happens inside of a person. Now, I'm just talking about the soul and its influence on the brain. And so you're actually able to, what you're thinking, see, as you know, we're a three-part being. First Thessalonians 5:23, it says that we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. This is my earth suit, okay? When I die, the body remains here, unless we're taken up in the rapture, then I get a brand new one. So the body is here, but me, the real person, continues to live. Spirit and soul, okay? We looked at a passage in 1 Peter Wednesday. It talks about at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the salvation of your souls. Every aspect of what used to get us down, get our thinking wrong, the moment we get drop this body and go to be with the Lord, we're not going to have any of that carnal part of us anymore. Now, you know, you hear some people that get on there and teach that we're going to have to spend thousands of years under these trees with all these different people teaching us to renew our mind. You know how foolish that is? Because it says we will know him as he is. When you look at, we will have all the information, all the knowledge, everything that we need to know at that time, we will know him as he is. Can you imagine how many thousands of years we'd be up there trying to get this thing renewed? But see, that's the carnal mind that gets in there. Once we're severed from this life, severed from this body, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, let me justify myself a little bit here. Imagine some of the thoughts that you had this past week, this past month, the past year, still going on when you're in heaven. It's not going to be. You know? It's just not going to be. But yet, some people say, well, we're sitting under these trees and we're going to be taught of the Lord. And we're going to have the God thought. If the Lord wants me to do something, boom, I'm going to know it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to know it and be there. We're just going to be that connected with him. We're not going to have any of the flesh, the carnal, this fallen world. We're not going to have any influence of the devil. We're not going to have any of this evil influence. We're just going to have a connection with him. And what he wants us to know, boom, there it is. And some of you experience that now. Some of you experience that right now. You know, the term nowadays, oh, I got a download from God. How many of you heard download from God? You know what they're trying to say? I didn't know, now I know. Boom, it's just like right there. All the information you need is just like right there. Oh, wow, thank you, Lord. Now, if we can get it tidbits like that here, just think there. As he is known, we will know him. So don't listen to sometimes this foolishness. Oh, you're going to have a nice green tree you're going to get under, and a teacher's going to be assigned to you, and they'll be patient for 1,000 years. Well, you know, it could even take 10,000 years for some of you, you know, for you to really get that thing renewed. Oh, God, why? I go, what Bible is that guy reading? You know, I don't find that in here. So, you know, but you know, people like to make up stories. Oh, doesn't it say that people will be making up stories? Yes. 2 Timothy chapter 4. They're not going to want to continue with the truth. But they're going to heap up teachers after them and say, tell us what we want to hear. Please tell me what I want to hear. Yeah, you don't have to worry about renewing your mind now. You don't have to worry about getting a hold. You're going to have all eternity to do it. Ah. That could be one of these foolish, vain things that they're talking about. I've already got the card flash for 15 minutes. Okay, that's good. That's good. Let's put up the first slide. Slide number one. Okay, Romans 12:1. It starts with dedication. It starts with committing ourselves to the Lord. You want to have a more vibrant life? Commit yourself to him. Sometimes I find myself committing myself to him. A lot of times I'm yielding. Lord, I've been on the throne. I don't want to be on the throne. I don't want to run things. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, once again, holy, acceptable or agreeable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is what we should do. And have you found yourself in a place of dedication, a place of commitment, a place of yielding? This is what verse 1, you cannot quote verse 2 unless you experience verse 1. And a lot of people want to quote verse 2 without going through verse 1, that Jesus Christ purchased me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that we've been purchased by his blood. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which are his. In other words, which belong to him. But it takes the willingness of our life to say, you purchased me, Jesus. Your blood bought me, Lord Jesus. I claim you as my Lord. I want to live for you as my Lord. Okay? When you make a conscious effort, thought, decision, commitment that Jesus Christ is Lord, those things within us that are not under his lordship will start coming to the surface. So they can be. Not to give you a hard time. You've just said, Jesus Christ, you're the Lord of my life. Right? And said, oh, Pastor, you know, I made a fresh commitment to the Lord Jesus. And it feels like I'm being bombarded. No, things are coming to the surface one at a time that need to come under his lordship. So don't think it's a strange thing when this begins to happen. But so we need to apply the next verse then. Next verse. Boom! Renew your mind. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not fashion yourself after this world. As if there's, I mean, you know how many people are fashioning themselves after this world? You got all these different shows on that people want to be like so-and-so. The examples that we should be following are the mature brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And you know, wouldn't it be great to get to a place, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Wow! Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may experience, that you may live out the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so it says that we need to be renewed, not conformed. There's a choice, that which is not of God and that which is of God. There's a choice that we always have to make. The choice is always ours. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformed into a whole nother being. How many of you know that there's certain ways that we process and make decisions in life, and God says it's all wrong, it's broken. And you've got to have a completely transformational thought process that's going to obliterate the way that you used to do it, because God's way of doing it is completely different. That's why you have to go from transformation. So renewal of the mind, according to the Word of God, brings you into a place of transformation in the way that you think and process information. Next slide. Okay, this is the one I quoted earlier. It's out of Proverbs. Go to the next one after that. It's the King James. It says, as a man or as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. You have to remember in the Old Testament, the word heart is interchanged with the spirit and with the soul. Okay? And so, as a man or as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. The more that you go over something, the more that you rehash something, the more that something continues to play within you, are you reinforcing something that is negative, or are you reinforcing the Word of God, which builds you up, which changes your life? I know every one of you here have gone through situations in your life, and the tape plays, and some of the thoughts come up. He wants you to say, I took that. He wants you to know he took that. It says everything that happened to us or everything we did to somebody else, it says it was nailed to the cross and his blood covered it. He wants to get you to a place of believing what he has done so you don't have to live there any longer. So when it comes up, there's no sin in it when it comes up. It happened. You experienced it. But where you journey after that comes up will make all the difference in the world. You know, Lord God, this was a painful thing, and sometimes even the emotions and the tears and the feelings of fear and abandonment come even to my mind. Lord God, when just the thought of something or seeing something on the news, it flashes me back right to that time. To remind yourself, you know, Jesus, the Word of God says that was nailed to you on the cross. And your blood ran over to liberate me, to free me. You've got to start talking God thoughts and God's ways. You've got to know what he has done on your behalf. And the more you catch it, and the more that you acknowledge the Word of God, the feelings and the tears, all of a sudden, they get smaller and smaller and smaller. And the truth of Jesus' liberty gets stronger and stronger. So you can say it by way of testimony now. I still remember the things that have happened to me, but the pain and the sorrow and the heartache associated with them is no longer. Because I'm able to share with you, I'm able to share what Jesus Christ has done on my behalf. You find out what the Word of God says, you begin acknowledging it. You begin acknowledging the Word of God. You begin saying the Word of God, thinking the Word of God. Oh man, that was horrible. But you know, Lord Jesus, somehow, some way, you experienced the same thing, the same suffering. I don't know how, but the Word of God says you did.
And so I know the Word of God is the truth, so I acknowledge the truth that somehow you experienced it, and it says you took it upon yourself. So I don't have to wear it or be there anymore. When the acknowledgement of the truth continuing within your life, it will get to a point where it becomes real to you, and you'll experience the freedom, the liberty, the snipping off of what once bound you, and you're a freeman or a free person. Next one, next slide. Okay, healthy-looking thought and not a healthy-looking thought. These are things that go on in the neurology of your brain. These are things that go on. New research shockingly reveals that unforgiving, resentment, pessimistic, or negative thoughts cause memory trees. I want you to think of your mind and your memories like a tree. Okay? The left side is the negative. It just deteriorates. And you're going to see another picture here of what it actually begins looking like if you keep going in the wrong direction. In the right direction, okay, let me finish reading this. In the brain's dendrites, in the brain's dendrites, to become sparse and thorny. They no longer look like healthy, abundant branches. Isn't it amazing? Listen to that. Isn't it amazing that they refer to these things as branches and trees in our life? Branches and trees. And the Word of God says, like in Psalm 1, that we are like what? Trees planted by the rivers of God. And so it talks about when we're planted right and God is our source and His source is coming within us, that it grows and flourishes and bears fruit. But not connected to the God source, it dwindles and dies. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes referred to as science, can you imagine science calls it magic trees? You know, they're healthy. Health, that's to the right, is a healthy thought. And it's a reinforcement of that. The more that healthy thought, let's say there's a truth, pursue peace. The Word of God says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Something comes up. No, the Word of God says that Jesus is my peace. This situation used to get me really upset. It just starts developing greater and bigger branches. When you begin, it's called the acknowledgement of the truth. So what you acknowledge or what you think, it will go one of two ways. Wow. Next one. Okay, in Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 19, it talks about the things of the flesh. And I believe it's in 20, 21, or 22 and 23, and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And it goes on and speaks about the things that will bring in a negative result within our life and a positive result or a God result within our life. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, to the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will he reap destruction. To the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Remember, the word sow means to plant. It means to plant. What you plant in you, you're going to get that kind of a harvest eventually. You keep planting, you're going to get. You put a tomato seed in the ground, you're going to get what? A tomato plant. Okay? So whatever you plant, what you sow to, what you plant to, you will eventually reap. It will be a crop that you will eat of. So the question is, we don't even have to go there and look at Galatians 19 to 21. All those different things, if we sow to those areas, what we're going to do. There's a wonderful teaching I'd love to do to bring out the natural side and the spiritual side of those things. But it says that we can have a life that is what? Guided or led by the Holy Spirit. And we can live from a life of what? God's love, God's joy, God's peace. It goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of us need to learn how to exercise a little bit more self-control? Against such things there is no law. These are all things of God. He says, in other words, you're not going to be stopped by doing any of these things. You're only going to grow and flourish. And so we have, if you want a healthy, growing, spiritual life that actually... I saw some pictures of
of brains, which I didn't take any of those, were people that are so negative, and it shows these dents inside people's brains. It actually negatively impacts the very construction of the brain when people are just negative or pessimistic all the time. They actually have taken pictures, and you see these big dents. And when a person changes the way, this is just even sometimes natural people. When a person becomes more a positive outlook on things, a healthier way of thinking, that those areas get filled in. They become nice and plump again. Wow. Next one. Now, this right here is a neuron that is positively. It is going. They actually say that they have light. It's like they speak of electricity. And they fire, and it says that when the right thoughts are going on with inside your head, there's one that fires and puts out another branch and another branch and another branch. Isn't it amazing how they call it light? But the next picture shows when negative thoughts start forming. They start developing that one firing area is firing wrong. It actually starts becoming dark in that area of the thinking, and those branches get destroyed, and it creates a dark area actually within the brain. Creates a dark area within the brain. And it's those dark areas begin connecting together and forming a dark spot. Isn't that amazing? That we can even see, that they've even able to see that when we're walking with God, we're walking in the Spirit, we're applying God's love, we're looking to Him in all things, that He has become our life. Jesus said, I came to give you life, and life in its fullness. But it talks about the thief. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. And if our thoughts are on what the thief is doing, and always on the negative aspect of life, you're going to find out what you're building or what you're destroying. And it's going to keep getting that bunch stuff right there is all wrong thinking, and it gets darker and darker, and they start connecting with inside your thinking because everything starts to relate to it. Everything starts relating to it. When the cycle starts going down, it just gets bigger. But let me tell you this. I don't have the picture, but if you go back to the previous one, the way that Dr. Carolyn Leaf explains it, the way that when you start catching yourself, like, wow, man, I've just lived in this for so long. You know, like, this is just not right. The moment you start renewing your mind or changing, it's like a branch starts shooting over that darkness and starts filling it in. So you don't have to remain there. It's not a permanent condition. Some of you have been negative for so long and always looking at the pessimistic side, or a certain thing has happened in your life and it keeps rehashing, it keeps replaying, and it just seems like one person in this field, he said that it's like a black hole that keeps going spiraling downward. But the moment you start going, that little funnel starts closing up. So we are completely renewable and transformable. No matter how long we've been in that condition, no matter what has happened to us, that whole area can have that light of life, that light of truth, what God's Word has done. And you know what? Now this is one thought at a time. We're not even taking in the spiritual aspect of maybe deliverance or freedom. It's all, you know what, sometimes when I, you know, if I have a squirt gun here and I'm squirting Bill, you know, whoosh, water went over to him. But you know, sometimes I see deliverance as we get connected to the fire, the hydrant. A whole lot of work can be done by one little visit of the Holy Spirit. You know, so it's okay for the squirt gun to start firing across there. But when the sun wants to set somebody free and we're at that right place in time, get ready for the connection to the fire hydrant. Boom! And just see that as beams of wonderful light and truth and freedom Jesus has for us. I remember being bound. I also know what it's like to be free. I know what it's like to experience a deliverance, but I also understand what it's like to experience line upon line and precept upon precept. Have a shot here and a shot there for that whole area to get developed. So I know God can do something supernaturally all at once in certain areas.
Other ones you walk through every day. Okay, next one. And the next one after that. Oh, okay, good. Okay, your mind is what?
Battlefield.
A battlefield. Bringing what? Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says that we have the ability to bring what? Now, how many of you, just by me saying that, did anybody here think, yeah, right? Every thought. That, if you're just to stop and just think about that, you'd almost say, it's crazy. Every thought. There is a way to even take a renegade thought and say, No. The moment you say no and proclaim the lordship of Jesus over that, it's got to bow its knee. It's got to start surrendering. It's got to start coming into a place of submission. And that thought is going to actually be obliterated, and another thought is going to get put in its place. That is what... Okay, let me just read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, or we walk in the body, we do not war. Our warfare is not according to flesh and blood with each other." How many of you agree with that? How many of you, if we just get a picture of this, when somebody's flying off at the handle at you, don't take it so personal. It's spiritual. That person is not where they need to be in Jesus at that place and time. Whether they're saved or unsaved, they're making a whole lot of wrong choices right now. Just know it's a... How many times do we take it personal? Christine, do we not take it personal sometimes? We still look at one another if we say something, you just crushed me when you said that. Well, you were crushed because you allowed yourself to be crushed. Okay? Not that we should say those things. Yes, there is a feeling that comes across. Yes, there is a power of those words that come across that person. And momentarily, it may shake them. Whoa! Why am I allowing what they're saying to get me down when they're down? To get me to come into their misery when they're miserable? Okay? We need to find how God wants us to respond. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. But we need to respond the way that God wants us to respond, and most of the time it's going to be through prayer. We're going to connect with God. We're going to talk to the Father about it. I didn't like what they said. I'd really like to tell them a few things. But I'm not going to, Lord. Boom! That's the obedience of Christ right then and there. You've just submitted that to the Lord, and that thought has now become captive. You see, how many of you have heard stuff like this? Well, how do you take every thought captive? I'd bind that right now and rebuke it. Sometimes we put out religious words without even knowing what we're talking about. But when something is coming up with inside my thinking or somebody's coming up against me, I don't have to go where they're at. I used to, hey, you speak something against me, you speak something, you're going to hear it from me. I'm going to give you my 2 cents worth. That's probably it's all it's worth. But look at the damage. Think of those life lights, those neurons firing. Think of some of our wrong choices and see like snip, 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 and those things not firing like they used to fire. I mean, if we can just get visuals of that, I think we'll stop. Whoa. Lord, that's not pleasing to you. No way. I'm not going to enter in what they're in right now. And we just, Lord, help them. How many of us, we have that type of personality? You get in my face, I'm going to get in your face. That's the old way. That's not God's way. It says, as much as depends upon you, as much as depends upon you. I think it's Hebrews 13. You live at peace with all people. So where it puts it back on us. So if somebody's not at peace with me, doesn't mean I have to get back at not at peace with them. Right? But why is it at times we want to just... I'm getting a picture. I was like, no! I got enough to renew without having to cut some things off and start renewing process again in that area. Okay, next one. Philippians 4:8. Even the Word of God tells us, think on these things. Yep. Think on these things. In other words, the great Apostle Paul, over 50% of the New Testament he wrote, he wouldn't have told you how to direct your thinking if you couldn't do this. He would not have told you that you can focus your thoughts on right things if you did not have the ability to do it. And he's talking about people in Jesus Christ. He's talking about those who have embraced Jesus Christ. You have the ability
to choose the way that you think and make the right choices within your life. And if you'll just embrace what this says, if you'll just, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and look at that last part, whatsoever things of a good report, that's good. What's God's report on the matter? What does God's word say on the matter? What God has to say is good. And so find out God's report on the matter and say, no, I'm not going there. I'm choosing God's report. Jesus came to give us good news. So start finding out something about his good news, and it will become lovely, pure, just, honest, and true within your life. You see, most of us don't realize in Philippians chapter 4, Paul is beginning to close out this letter here, and in verse 4 he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." And you might say, there are situations that I'm not going to be rejoicing in. I can rejoice in the fact, because I know what God's word says, that he's still with me. I may not like the circumstance I'm in or the horrible situation I've just faced, but you know what? God's with me. He's going to see me through it. That's a rejoicing. I choose to keep my marbles in Jesus' basket. I choose to side with him. The joy is already within you. The disposition and character of God is already within you. You have to choose to stir it up. You have to choose to side with the truth. If tears are running down and you're just like, I can't see. If God is so powerful, then why in the blank is this going on within my life? But there's something that will just, God is still with you. God is still with you. All things will work together for the good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Lord, that scripture's coming up. I don't see how you're going to do this. I don't see how this horrible situation is going to work for good. But I have to trust what your word says. I have to be able, with tears flowing down my face, with my I don't understand coming up to my thinking, I have to side with what your word says. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation or your self-control be made known to those around you. The Lord is at hand. You see, this passage all the way down through verse 8 has been a passage I've had to live, because at times life is difficult and life can be difficult every day, especially when you're standing in faith believing God for a certain thing to occur within your life. And you've got to stir up the joy. You've got to stir up what the Word of God has to say. You continue to grab hold of what the Word of God has to say, regardless of a physical condition, regardless of a pain that you might be experiencing or a present circumstance. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Jesus has secured everything that I need for this side of eternity, and I know when I keep looking to him, he will bring it to pass. And there's a certain thought process that begins to kick in when something else is trying to kick in. And so you got to kick that out and let that come in. And then it goes on what we're supposed to do. The Lord is at hand. How? We start, be anxious, be worried, be stressed, be overburdened for nothing. Verse 6. But in everything that you face, it says you're to talk with God. You're to bring those supplications up before him. And it says by the time you end, you should be somewhere in a place of thanksgiving. And at times, I'm not there. I'm not there in thanksgiving. By faith, I give him thanksgiving. I said, you know, Lord God, I've just talked to you about this. I've just released this to you right now. And I choose by my will to thank you. I don't see how you're going to do it. I don't see how you're going to renovate this within my life. I don't see how you're going to change the situation. But the Word of God says you will. And I choose to thank you. Thank you, Father. I look to you right now and I say, thank you. Because if you don't get to that place, the prayer and supplication is one thing. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's a choice of my will. Didn't say whether I had feelings aligned with it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I tell you what, I've praised God in some of the most excruciating pain, and tears are coming down my eyes, but I still choose to praise him. He's the light of my life. He's the answer for me. He's the Lord over everything that I've gone through. He's experienced everything that my life will experience, and he's going to see me through it. That's the attitude you have to have. And then it goes on and talks about, let your requests be made known to God. And then it says, what are we supposed to pursue? peace. Let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then it says after that to start thinking on these things. Because even after prayer, and even after supplication, even after giving a thanks, and even after that a peace of God's come upon you, you're going to have thoughts going to try to come in and negate what you've just done. They're going to try to negate it. And you have to choose, no, I've already talked to God about it. I know that he's in control. I know that he's going to work this out. I don't know how, but he's going to. And so when something negative tries to come in to bring you down a wrong trail, you say no to that. No, I believe God's report, and God's report is good. And that's a place that you have to get. Next verse, or next slide. Okay, where we started out at. It has to begin, and it's already late, but it's okay. It has to begin today with dedication. It has to begin with commitment. It has to begin with Romans 12:1. You're not going to be able to keep yourself not fashioned to this world or renewing your mind or being transformed unless there's a dedication. And at times, I got to live this sometimes two or three times a day. Because I have a tendency to get on the throne and do it Mark's way. I'm a man. And we like to get in there and do things. You know, if something's broke, we fix it. But sometimes it's not God's time for to fix it. You can make a mess. And I've got to get off the throne. Okay, Lord, you know what? I've taken this into my own hands. I've been doing this in the flesh. It's been 10 hours, like I was saying yesterday. I'm done. I need to get up in my office and get some quiet time for myself and for my brothers and sisters here today. And then I've made all this commitment. And I'm still laying in bed. I'm laying there. Christine's out in the front room, and I'm texting. What frame rate is the best frame rate for video? I still couldn't let it go. You know. And so the lights off in the room. You kind of look down the hallway, make sure Christine's not going to come in. And I'm like, no. It's like I just couldn't let it go. Because when you get, you're trying to get, you want to put out a good product, right? And it was just, and you know what? I was like, you know what? I plugged it in, put it down. I'm done with this. Lord, you're Lord. I need to go to sleep. That's how fast it went. Listen, I'm telling you what I live. This is what I live. Just that little quick, your Lord, was a dedication to the Lord. You know, it's good at times if we do make a personal commitment, say, you know what, I want to dedicate myself afresh unto the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't be surprised if you've got to do it 3 or 4 or 5 times today, especially when you put your hand in it and you get in charge. Take your hand off, recognize who's in charge, acknowledge him who's in charge, and then apply the next one. Once again, next slide. And do not be conformed to this world. Quit doing it the world's way. Quit doing it your old way. But what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. God wants us to prove. God wants us to experience. God wants us to live. God wants us to partake of his good, acceptable, and perfect will. God doesn't have three wills. God's will is good, God's will is acceptable, and God's will is perfect. Or the word acceptable means agreeable. Sometimes people say, well, God has three wills. No, God has one will. And God's will is good, God's will be agreeable to us, and God's will is perfect or complete. Amen? And we have to realize this. Next one. And what did Jesus say? Have faith in God. And this is what we've been looking at. This is what we're going to develop. That you're not going to get to an end of ever developing your faith in God. Because as long as we live in this fallen world, you're going to be hit with things that's going to try to get you the same way the devil appeared to Eve in the garden, is the same thing that's going to happen to you. You're going to find a truth. You're going to embrace that truth. Somewhere along the line, you're going to be confronted. Does God really mean that? Does God really mean that? The truth you affirm, that truth will be challenged. And the devil somehow is going to use a person, a circumstance, or a situation. It may not even come as a conversation. A situation may present itself, and you just may react according to the way that you always did, and then nullify that word you just heard, because you chose to do it your own way. But if we acknowledge, I'm a person, I'm a child of God,
I'm filled with God's Spirit, therefore I'm led by the Spirit of God, and I will catch myself in those things because the Holy Spirit's going to quicken me, and I'm not going to give in to the circumstance or situation that tries to get me to disagree with what God's Word has to say. I have a thought process like that, and you need to develop a thought process like that because we can always have a faith, trust, reliance, dependence upon God, but it will be challenged. And when it's challenged, you may just need to fortify yourself in that area again. Amen? Next verse. For with what? For with God what? Nothing will be impossible. Wow, that's a tall order to fill. But you see, either this verse is true or it's not. And if this verse is true, and it is true, then we can experience the reality of this verse. So that we can, the next slide here, can be a living part of your life. Jesus said to him, remember that dad had the demon-possessed son we talked about Wednesday and last Sunday. If you can believe or if you can have faith, all things are possible to what? Him who believes or him who has faith. And how do we grow in that? In here. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And see, this is what he's wanting to do in our lives because we're going to be facing, you're going to be, I believe the last generation is going to be hit so much harder than any previous generation, unless it was like the first church. You're going to get so hard. You really believe that? Let's see if you believe that. There's going to be a stand that is needed. And you're going to have that spiritual stand because you know what the Word of God says and you're not going to get off your stand. Amen? Okay. Father God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for some of these things that we've looked at here today. That we even have pictures of what even takes place in our brain, Lord God. Sometimes people have brain fog because of the way that they've allowed themselves to think for such a long period of time. As one person once told me, I'm not hurting anybody with the way that I'm thinking, but you're hurting yourself. And so, Father, let us not make excuses that we somehow think we can just carry on like we want, Lord God, in the living room of our brain or our thinking, because we're not hurting anybody. But if there's anything going on with inside of our thinking, Lord God, that is coming through our soul and influencing the way that we think and make decisions that is not of you, Lord God. Lord, I just, on my behalf, and I pray that my brothers and sisters, we repent right now, Lord God. We repent, Lord God, if we say that I can do what I want in my own brain. No, Lord God, you've given us, this is the way, walk you in it. This is the Word of God that I have for you. This is the engrafted Word that is supposed to speak to you and lead and guide your life and to separate you from all that is not of the Father and His purposes for your life. So, Lord God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here right now that we, all of us, afresh today, Lord God, as of this moment, those who want to join me will join me, Lord God, that we make a commitment, Lord, right now, a dedication, a Romans 12:1 dedication. By your mercy, by your ability, Lord God, by the mercies of God, with your help, Lord God, we dedicate ourselves to be a living sacrifice. In other words, we yield ourselves to you while we live on this planet. And we thank you, Father, when we have that choice of declaring that Jesus is Lord over every aspect of our life, even our thinking, that your ways are our ways, and your thoughts are our thoughts, and your promises are our promises, and your truths become our truths. And the way that you would do things or the way that we now do things start becoming a natural aspect of our lives and we're transformed. And so we thank you, Father. Here we are. Thank you for receiving us. You have received us before, but afresh right now. We yield ourselves to you. Help us, Lord God. Assist us. Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, I ask right now. You are the Spirit of truth, and it says you will bring all things to our remembrance that Jesus wants us to know. And so we acknowledge you as the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the one who's always with us, the Helper. And any time that we need that help, you are right there to make it known to us. So we want to avail ourselves to you when you're trying to get something known to us, that we will become more sensitive to the leading, guiding, and direction of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will lead and guide us in all truth. So we acknowledge these truths this morning. We thank you for a fresh new start today. We thank you for the blood of Jesus right now, Lord God. We thank you that according to the Word of God, everything that was contrary to you within our lives has already been nailed to the cross, and the blood of Jesus Christ has already been applied to it. Teach us, Lord God, to walk in the finished work of Jesus. Teach us, Lord God, to walk in the truth as you reveal it to us.